In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Tonight I'll give you some ideas about those who made miracles. Men made miraculous changes in their lifespan and in their people. One of them is Jonah, Yonan, the leadership of Yonan. You know, Yonan or Jonah is one of the earliest missionary, because his mission was to go to Nineveh just to preach or proclaim the word of God in order that they repent and get out of their, fate. But Jonah actually was one of the, you may consider, one of the worst missionaries. Although, with the end of the story, he succeeded in his mission. So, there are many lessons we can get from the character of Jonah in the Old Testament. First of all, he refused the call. Many of you may receive the call and they think for some time that God may ask them to start serving Him in this missionary, and they may think that they need to move forward and change their style of life, and they should leave their families for some time to go here and there and to do whatever. And after this kind of thought, they regret and continue their life as before. So many missionaries, refuse the call. They receive the call and then they are not with the call, they are not ready to do it. That exactly happened with Jonah. It was written in the first chapter. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Look to this, please. He flee from the presence of the Lord. So by ignoring the call, by rejecting the call of missionary, you may like fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid to the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Usually the main reason of refusing the call of evangelism or missionary is fear. He was afraid of going to Nineveh. I don't think he went before there. Nineveh was famous of, this kind of worshipping idols. So he was afraid of being attacked by them, and he believed that nobody will believe me. Why should I go there? I may have many troubles there. I don't think it's my mission. I am a Jewish prophet. I should speak with the Jew. Why should I go? So by these fears, he refused the call. Also, somebody may refuse the call because he is living in a lukewarm state. He is neither warm or cold, according to the Revelation verse. He is not warm enough to follow the call. To follow the call of the Lord, to live as missionary or evangelist, you need to be warm in your relation with the Lord. So you cannot step out of the call. But if you are living in such a lukewarm state, you are neither warm or cold, you can never follow the call. Also, a third reason of why people may refuse the call, that they do not love God and people enough. This kind of ministry, needs a real love to God and people. If you love God and people from all your heart, you will listen to the call and follow God's call. But if you do not have such love, you cannot, go this way for long. You may go for a few days or few weeks and then back to your life, and you cannot commit yourself to the whole life mission. It was written in the last chapter of Jonah that it displeased Jonah exceedingly. What displeased him? That these people repent. So he was not aiming at their repentance. That was not his goal, because he did not love them. He couldn't love them. So because he couldn't love them, he cared not if they repent or not. He did not care. So when they repented and God was merciful to them, he was displeased. Imagine. So this is kind of servant who could not love the people who serve. So he can never enjoy his service because he did not love them. The second point was clear in the book of Jonah, that God's voice. In order to be an evangelist or a servant in this mission, you should listen carefully to God's voice. And you know, this is simply by praying and Bible reading. In case of Jonah, in the first chapter, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So there was a clear voice from the Lord, "Go, arise, go." Although that voice was very clear, he rejected this message and he followed his, you know, desire to sleep, to go away from the mission. So do you really listen to the voice of the Lord through praying and Bible reading and repentance? Again, you know, the voice of the Lord did not stop, although this man refused or rejected the call, and he slept in the boat. God, the Lord, sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. This is another kind of God's voice. God may speak out loudly by nature, by circumstances, through things happening around. You can listen carefully to God's voice. He was saying, "Go back. This is not my call. This is not my will. Why you didn't follow me?" So by this wind storm and the ship was about to be broken up, this all circumstances was clear God's voice, but he did not listen. Again, this is your message today. Do you listen carefully to the messages coming out from the circumstances around, or you do not care? The third message or voice coming from the Lord, when they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble upon us." So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So you may receive the call of the Lord or the voice of the Lord through somebody else. They may not be religious like you, but they may sound the God's sound. They may speak God's message. If you listen carefully, you will see that God is still trying to reach you, saying, "Why? Why did you do this? Why you are refusing my call? Why don't you go back and try the mission again?" So they made the lot, and it was Jonah, and you know, it was clear that he was the problem, the main problem of the story. Also, you know, another message came to Jonah when the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. You know, this is another kind of message. You did not like the people of Nineveh. How about these sailors? They loved you, although they are not Jew like you, but they were better than you. They could love you, and they cared a lot not to let you die. So they tried hardly to save you, and you tried nothing to save people. So another message came from the Lord through the sailors. So now God is speaking in his word clearly. He is speaking in the storm, in the circumstances, through the people around, through your bad or failures. Another message came from the Lord through the people when the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." You know, this captain was not a man of God, but he took the place of Jonah. He said what Jonah supposed to tell everybody: arise, pray, go back to God. He is now the one who was very much away from the Lord, and this captain was preaching to him. So this is another message coming to Jonah the prophet. You are not prophet anymore. You are not a servant anymore. Somebody who you may serve one day will give you one word as if you need to be a servant, you need to repent. Another message came from the Lord when he said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." It's like the voice coming from inside, the conscience, that you may feel like sound coming from inside your heart. You feel sorry for yourself. You feel like you are not honest enough to be God's man. You did nothing in his mission. So the word of conscience, work with the sound of the Lord. I'm trying to give you this idea. It's a very important one, that you should listen to the word of God, to the voice of God, through Bible reading, through praying, through your conscience, through the people around, through the circumstances, through your failures. There is always a message, and mostly towards your mission. The third point I want to give you, who is the best? You know, in this story, I believe Jonah was the worst. The people in the boat were much better than him. Even the people of Nineveh were better than him, because they received the message easily, and they fast, they repent, they prayed, and God accepted their repentance. But you know, till the end of the story, till the end of chapter 4 in Jonah, he was resisting God's will. So don't never ever believe in yourself that you are better than those you are serving. They are much better than you, but they did not receive your call. They did not have your chance. You had the chance to believe, to be baptized, to be God's man. They did not have the same chance. But actually, ethically, they are better than you. You understand this? Because we need to be always humble in our service. We need not to think that these people are very bad and we are the good ones. Actually, no. Although we know much, but we do less. We do very little parallel to our knowledge. So Jonah was the evangelist, and the mariners or the sailors were the road companion, and the people of Nineveh were the servant people, but in this all he was the worst. Some important questions to the evangelist. You know, they faced him saying, "Who are you?" They asked him this very, you know, direct questions. They said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause did this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? Of what people are you?" These questions, you know, are very important questions that we should face before going to any missionary. Do you know exactly the answer of these questions? Let's put it this way. What is your occupation? Could he answer, "I'm a preacher, I'm a prophet"? Could he? Could you say that I'm a servant while doing this stuff, while being away from the Lord, while escaping from the mission? Could you say I'm his servant? How come and you are rejecting his will? Where do you come from? Actually, the best answer, I'm coming from heaven, because you were born out of heaven, you know? We are born again through baptism, and now we are God's people, we are sons of heaven. Can you say so, that you are man delivered from heaven? Do you feel so? Do you feel this missionary like being Safir, ambassador? What is your country? Actually, I'm going back to heaven. This is the truth. You believe this? That you came from heaven and going lastly to heaven? If you believe so, you will be a really good servant. But for Jonah, he was not believing so. He was a prophet. But his mission was, you know, stuck by his ego and by his laziness and by many things. Of what people are you? This is a very important question. You are presenting the church. Wherever you go, you are presenting God's people. People of Africa or Asia, they could see God's people in you. They cannot see the Coptic church. They won't have the chance to come to Egypt to visit St. Mark church. But they can imagine how the church look like through you. Do you really love them? Do you really pray from your heart? Do you love making good things? Are you a good man? You present your people. So these questions are very important before going here or there. You know, Jonah, actually, I would consider that he made an unintended mission. Because, you know, he was forced by the whale to go to Nineveh. You remember the story, right? When they threw him in the water, a whale came and took him, and after 3 days he put him in the shore of Nineveh. So he was pushed doing the mission. And although he was pushed, he was not doing the service from his heart. He could see the grace of God. He could see the hand of God. He could see by saying few words to these people, they repent. And God accepted them. Imagine some servants who are not, you know, prepared enough, who do not have the passion or enthusiasm of missionary. And they had to go here or there. Imagine God will work with them just to show them how these people are good and how His grace is great. But the worst one is a servant still. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? You know, by saying so, they believed him by saying, I believe in one God, He is the God of heaven and earth and the sea. So they believed him. They accepted the idea. That's why they answered him saying, so why did you do this? If your God is the real God, God of everything, how could you imagine that you will escape him? So they accepted. While he was not aiming at preaching, they received the message because they are very ready to accept the message. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Also, you know, when he goes to Jonah, before going to Nineveh, therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, so they prayed to the Lord, they believed in him. In chapter 1, they believed in the Lord of Jonah, although Jonah was not a very good one, but they believed in his God. So they said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. You are doing whatever you want. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So look to this. Chapter 1, the sailors believed in the Lord. Although this prophet was not aiming at preaching anybody, he was escaping the mission, he was slipping away, but God could use him although he was not ready. Just to show you how God is, you know, passionate to make his mission work. So, in order to be a real man of God, a real servant, please be honest. Although Jonah was not the perfect one, but at least he was honest. He confessed his sin. He said clearly, I am the troublemaker. I am the one who made all of this stuff. I am the bad guy. He did not say, no, I am the servant of the Lord. This couldn't happen because of me. No, he confessed. He was honest. Be honest with the people. Don't show yourself before the people that you are the perfect man. This is not the message we are going to deliver. We are aiming at the perfect God and perfect man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, be humble. He was, you know, humble enough to say, throw me in the water. I do not deserve life. I am the one who made you troubles. Also, you know, you could see he still have some fear, God's fear, holy fear. Because he told them, I'm afraid of God. But you know, you are afraid of God, but you have done very wrong. If you are really afraid of God, you shouldn't escape him and make something else. Also, being, you know, a real faithful guy, he trusted the Lord. He was sure that the Lord is doing everything because of him. Another point in the book of Jonah, we may get some lessons that through our missionary life, we may face some obstructions or surprises or maybe some facilities. You know, the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. So this kind of obstacles in the missionary, you feel like these problems are hindering the mission. Actually, no. It's part of God's plan for the mission. So when storms come, when problems arise, don't think this is, you know, against the plan. No, actually it's part of the plan. Because you are not ready enough. You need to be grown up. You need to be more mature to work with the Lord. So this storm will help you to confess your sins, to divert your way back to the mission. Also, when they said that, let's cast lot that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come, I think he was sure that the lot will be upon him. He was sure that this all happened just a message for him. So these surprises are not really surprises. Whatever surprising you while going here and there is part of God's plan for the mission. Also, when they threw him in the water, you know, the whale came. It was not, you know, accidentally that the whale came at that minute just to take him. No, it was all part of God's plan. So facilities or obstructions or surprises are always parts of God's plan. On the last chapter of Jonah, you know, as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plan that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint Then he wished death for himself and said, it's better for me to die than to live. Even this kind of worm and the sun beating on his head and this all parts of God's plan. This all work with the mission, not against the mission. Another point from the story of Jonah, very relevant to our mission work, that the promise of the Lord that my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you look to the character of Jonah, you may say, come on, is this a prophet? Could he be a preacher? How come? He did nothing good in this story. Everything was fine except him. But imagine with this weak guy, God made miracles. God made miraculous change with thousands of people by using this weak person. So this is very important. You will work with the Lord and you still have many weaknesses. And though God will work with your weakness by His strength, and you can make miracles with the Lord although you're still weak. So you know, his intent was not pure, and his laziness was very clear, and his depression was very near. He was really depressed. Every now and then he was saying, just take me. خُدُونِ رَبِّ خُدْنِي كُلِّ شُوَيَهِ يَا رَبِّ خُدْنِي. He was really a depressed person, a weak in his psychology or psych. But although he is very weak, God made miracle through him. You know, also he was not honest enough, and he had no hope in his mission, and though God made miraculous changes. He was disapproving the mission. He was always complaining, and though he was successful with the end of the story, he also was selfish. Actually, he cared only for his rest and for his people, the Jews. He cared not for the people of Nineveh, but though God made miraculous changes through him. Now, let's put this. Why did the evangelizing succeed? Why did this story end this way? Why this prophet, Jonah, succeeded although he had no potentials of success? I think if he were one of you, I won't send him anywhere, this Jonah. I cannot trust him going to Zimbabwe or Namibia. I would think any of you much better than him. But thank God he was not member of the team. He was member of God's team. So he knew how to use him. So why did this mission succeed? First of all, you know, the mariners were very ready. And the Nineveh people actually were very ready. These people are very kind people, and they could receive the message of the nature. They can easily love people around. So they are very, you know, ready to be fruitful, to change, yeah. So when you succeed in your mission, don't think that you are the man of MMM, man made miracles. No, actually you have done nothing. The people are very good. They are very ready to change. You just push them some little and they made everything. So the mariners and the Nineveh people were very good. But you know, the servant were ready, and also a well-made holy plan. There was a plan. God knew exactly which people now are ready to be right. He knew where to go and what to do. So there was always a plan in God's mind. We may not know God's plan completely, but we should work with Him. He knows what He is doing. So when He opens some door for some service, He is, you know, He knows exactly what He's doing. You know, the plan was clear with the wind, with the sound of the Lord, with the plant, with the worm. Every single detail in the story was part of God's plan. And you will see this clearly while working with the Lord in any country, that every single little detail is part of His plan. Whoever you are meeting in the plane going to the country or in the country is part of His plan. Whatever happening to you is part of the plan. So if you are working with the Lord, you should look carefully for His plan and for the details of the plan. Also, you know, this mission succeeded actually because of their prayers. They prayed a lot, they fasted, they repented. So nothing would happen if they couldn't pray, if they did not believe Him. But they believed and they started to change by praying, repenting and beseeching. So this is the actual key of the success of this tour. So you can never say that I succeeded to help these people to change unless they love praying. They love praying. They know that praying is the key for the change. They know that praying is the key for their salvation. They can never get nearer to the Lord without praying. Also, this mission succeeded because the submission to God's order. Although it was like by force, but actually they fasted in a great way, and we nowadays we cannot fast at their way of fasting. They spent the 40 days with very little water and maybe no food at all. They could help the kids to fast and the animals to fast according to their, you know, primitive knowledge. Also, another point of this successful mission is the trust in God's mercy. Although Jonah said nothing about God's mercy, according to the text, he just said that God's anger on you with the 40 days. In 40 days period, everything will perish. This is only what he said, because you are bad guys. He didn't speak a lot or maybe no single word about God's mercy. But they felt like God of the heaven, earth and sea is merciful. They seek His mercy although they did not listen to the word of mercy. So they trust in His mercy and they gained the mercy of God. So this is, you know, some ideas about Jonah as a preacher. And I wish you can read the 4 chapters of Jonah again to see how was he as a preacher. And although he was very weak and resisting God's call, but God made miracles through him, miraculous changes. And now we have such role model of Jonah as a preacher. Glory to God. Amen. For the homework of this week, in the Bible there are many characters who made really miracles in the life of their people. Like, for the start, our Lord Jesus Christ and others. Nehemiah, Ezra, Moses, all characters of the Bible are men made miracles. So we'll read this, the 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. And Josiah, one of the men who made miracles or miraculous changes. Yoshia, Bal Arab is Yoshia. He's not a common name, you know. I don't think you know much about him. His story is written in 2 chapters, 22nd and 23rd, in the book of Kings, the second book of Kings. So you will study these 2 chapters and write a few sentences. How could he make this miracle? How could he make such a change in his people? You got the meaning? So this character, you will study him thoroughly and you will write about his success in changing his people and everything around. The second character will be Jehoshaphat. In the second book of Chronicles, chapter 17, 18, 19, also is not a common name, you know, but you will study this character and think, how could he change his people? So as if he made really miracles in changing the people around. This is, you know, goes much with what Dr. Magdi was saying, that if you are a really Christian leader, you can make a real change in the people you are ministering. Okay? So this is the question of tonight. By the way, we receive, you know, very good answers in the homeworks. So I'll present in a few minutes some of these great answers we receive. Concerning the last homework, how to deliver some of the passages of the Bible in different ways, Christine Michael from Canada, she's one of the members of our team, but she's following online, she is listening now to us. She made a very good, you know, example of delivering the passage of James chapter 1, 19 to 27 to African kids. She imagined that she will deliver this Bible study to African kids. If you went through this passage, you know exactly what James was saying. So she started this way. For this one, I can bring a mirror and pass it around and ask the kids to describe what they see in themselves and ask them afterwards, do you forget how you look like after you have seen yourself in the mirror, and put the mirror away? They will say no, and I will continue to say the same thing happens with the word that we read in the Bible. They are the words of God and not any God, a God who loves you so much and still provides for us every day and every second. He loves us so much that he even gave his only son on the cross to die for all of us. So we should obey the words of God and not forget, because you know, if we forget the words of God that we read in the Bible, you know, who would we be like? And then she, you know, continued explaining the passage. By using the mirror and passing by the kids and asking the question, do you still remember your picture in the mirror? And then you can jump easily to the verse written in James chapter 1, that the Bible like a mirror, and you are not supposed to forget your image in the mirror. Just go back to the mirror to know what you look like and to fix your image according to the mirror. So she could give them a real example of how the Bible affects our restoration of Christ's image, our change in spiritual life. So that was very good entrance, or very good example of delivering the passage to kids. Also, when going through Luke 24, young African youth, I will start by reading the passage twice and with a very clear voice, and read it slowly, also trying to connect the sentences with each other. I can have the location of the village that the two apostles were going to Emmaus. You remember the passage, it was about the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles of Emmaus. So she imagined that she is speaking with young men and women, and she delivered the map and put Emmaus and Jerusalem, and to imagine the way from this and that, how many miles they should go and what happened. And also, then I will start by asking questions. This is a very good way with, you know, the youth, to start questioning them about the passage. Which group do you think he was referring to when he said two of them? What do St. Luke means by the things which had happened? If Jesus had already been crucified and died 3 days earlier, then how do you think he is still living, is able to approach them? So, you know, many questions coming one after the other, just to help them to think in the passage and to communicate together. And this is very good, actually, a very good method with youth to make a Bible study. It's easy just to read the passage and explain what's saying, but this method is much better by asking them questions and following their answers. Another very good example given by Mervet. Come on, Mervet, please read it. Mervet make a really miraculous homework that she put the passage in poem because she imagined that she is delivering this to older ones. So she put the passage of James chapter 1, she make it like a poem and she will read it for us. This is really great. Go ahead.
Be slow to speak and quick to hear, for we have one mouth but more than one ear. Be slow to anger, for it never acquires the righteous life that God desires. Moral filth and evil put aside, and let the word in you abide. If in meekness this be your goal, the word will surely save your soul. Do the word, don't just be a hearer, like a man looking in a mirror. He turns away, and yes, he does, forget what kind of man he was. But if you look into the words with care, not forgetting what you hear, and doing what it says to you, you will be blessed in what you do. If you think you're a religious man, control your tongue if you can. Else, I could only say, your religion isn't worth the time of the day. Religion that's perfect, God confesses, is to help orphans and widows in their distresses, and to keep oneself from being polluted, for sin in the world is firmly rooted.
Thank you very much. I think we are supposed to send this to all of you. You will enjoy reading how could she make the verses of the Bible in such a poem. It's really nice, and it's a good way of delivering the message in an unusual way of Bible study.